Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are having a very, very important conversation about jihad in America, the specific jihad in our crosshairs at the moment is of a civilization kind, namely that practiced by the Muslim Brotherhood, a kind of incremental, stealthy, subversive, seditious form of this jihad aimed at exactly the same purposes as the violent kind, namely our submission to the doctrine its adherents call Sharia. With us to discuss all of this is a friend and colleague of mine, I'm very proud of saying, our vice president at the Center for Security Policy for Research and Analysis. She has been extraordinarily productive this year in helping us generate a number of products and books that have addressed various aspects of this phenomenon of civilization jihad. In fact, we call it the Civilization Jihad Reader Series. She is, of course, Claire Lopez, a former career clandestine services officer in the Central Intelligence Agency. And Claire, you were talking a bit about the approach that builds infrastructure or structures, if you will, that can be used to achieve this ultimate triumph of Sharia. Talk for a moment before we get to the United States and the focus of our new book, See No Sharia, Countering Violent Extremism and the Disarming of America's First Lines of Defense, about insights in all of this that we should take away from what we've learned so far about recent unpleasantnesses in Europe.
Well, you know, as we were talking before about the Hijra, the original Hijra, the movement of Muhammad and his few followers from Mecca to Medina, that movement, that Hijra, from a place where he was not succeeding very well to a place where he became very successful through jihad in growing Islam, is paralleled today by the movement of large numbers of Muslim migrants from places of the Middle East and North Africa into Europe. And some of that was deliberately invited after World War II as Europe desperately needed labor to rebuild and so forth. But what has happened more recently and become obvious is that too many of those incoming migrants were allowed to set up enclaves. In Paris, it would be in the banlieue, the suburbs of Paris. In Brussels, for instance, we've seen this place called Molenbeek, a neighborhood in the center of Brussels, where Muslim populations were permitted to live without assimilating into the host society or, importantly, without being part of the legal system. In other words, that the local law enforcement, the local security services, basically took a hands-off approach to these enclaves. And as that developed, they became enclaves of Sharia. They were apart. They were outside the writ of the law of the state. And Molenbeek is certainly an example of this, the place where these attackers came from that attacked both in Paris, the Charlie Hebdo attacks of January 2015, the later attacks in Paris in November 2015, and then more recently, as we've seen in Brussels early this year, 2016. And so those attackers came out of these enclaves. And that is the model, I think, that some of the ideologues within the Muslim Brotherhood, within Islam, have in mind when they talk about a civilization jihad. It is to set up structures, be they actual physical neighborhoods like Molenbeek, or the structures within society in places of work, in academia, as we've talked about, on university campuses, within the media, within the U.S. government even, that seek stealthily, as you just said, Frank, and incrementally to introduce Sharia and to have that allowed by the authorities to achieve a hands-off a status that the authorities so gradually become anesthetized to its introduction and growth that they allow it to happen and grow, as this is, we've seen played out in Europe. We cannot allow that to happen here in the United States.
Claire Lopez, one of the things that is a manifestation of this phenomenon, as you've indicated, is something that I guess sort of the colloquial shorthand for it is a no-go zone. These enclaves that have become essentially off limits, or at least very dangerous for even armed, you know, police officers to enter. There is a concern that, as you say, to the extent this same trajectory is what the Brotherhood and other Islamic supremacists have in mind for us, that we might have similar kinds of areas that are essentially unassimilated, Muslim only. And again, this isn't about Muslims per se. This is about Muslims who embrace this doctrine of Sharia and therefore this Sharia-driven, jihadist-enabled supremacist program in mind. Do you see evidence in our own country of such enclaves being established as well?
Well, certainly we have indications that there are places where such places are beginning to show these characteristics. For instance, in Phoenix, Arizona, for instance, in Minneapolis or the Twin Cities area, particularly Minneapolis of Minnesota. Our places.
You were just up there and doing a little bit of on-site investigating of your own. Did you see evidence along these lines?
Exactly. Well, I actually went on a drive through one of those neighborhoods in Minneapolis called Cedar Riverside, which are the names of two intersecting streets that bound this particular neighborhood. And I was told that these are places that are exclusively in Minneapolis, so it happens, Somali, Muslim. And unfortunately, now this is a neighborhood that has been on more than one occasion an exporter of jihadis who've left the United States and gone over to places like Somalia to fight with al-Shabaab, an al-Qaeda affiliate, or to the battlefields of the Middle East to join up with the Islamic State. As a matter of fact, as I was in Minneapolis those several days ago, several would-be jihadists were actually on trial in Minneapolis for just such an intent to go over and fight with the enemies of the United States, even young men who were born in the United States, maybe first generation or even second generation of immigrants from Somalia. But because we do not vet our refugee populations or immigrant populations for ideology, for suitability to blend into a Judeo-Christian-based legal system in this country, to abjure allegiance to their the legal system of their birth, Sharia, and to instead pledge allegiance only to the Constitution. We don't do that. We don't ask for their ideological motivations or intent or proclivities. They're not allowed to do that. That is part of, I would say, the success of the civilization jihad in the United States, that our officials are no longer even permitted to think or use words that would help them to properly vet potential incoming immigrants or refugees.
This is evidence of a much larger problem, which is, of course, the subject of our focus in Sino-Sharia, countering violent extremism, and the disarming of America's first lines of defense, Claire Lopez. We have to pause again. When we come back, I want to explore how this has come to pass inside our government, this blinding of our first lines of defense, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the military, the intelligence community, and what the implications of it might be if it's allowed to go uncorrected. That and much more with our guest, Claire Lopez of the Center for Security Policy, right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.